All right, let's go back to Revelation chapter 19. And it is the revelation of Jesus Christ is the title of this book. And here's my subject for this evening. One word, alleluia. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now here comes the second alleluia. And again they said, alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts, and I believe the 24 elders represents all the elect of God of all of the ages. And these four beasts, they represent all preachers of the gospel. So all the 24 elders and the four beasts, they fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen. Here's the third one, alleluia. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne, a voice of a great angel. It said, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as of the voice of mighty thundering, saying, and here's the fourth one, alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Those are the only four times in the Bible that word is used. Alleluia. Now, John the Apostle has witnessed the destruction of all false religion. That's back in chapters 17 and 18. The Lord has labeled false religion as being Babylon. Babylon. She's the great harlot. She has made people drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's what the scripture says. And you know, and I know, people who are in false religion, and they're drunk on false religion. They're absolutely intoxicated. You know, when someone is physically drunk, physically intoxicated, you just can't really communicate with them. Nothing you say registers with them. Well, that's the way it is with folks in false religion. We set before them the gospel of God's free grace. We tell them, listen, salvation's not by man's will. It's not by man's way. It's not by man's worth. Salvation is of the Lord. He originated salvation. He purposed our salvation. He is the one who purchased us for salvation. He is the one who empowered us to believe this gospel. We're regenerated by grace. He's the one who perfects us in Christ Jesus. The Lord is the one who preserves us. And to the Lord goes all of the glory. Our message is salvation condition only upon the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message. Our message is Christ Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. That's our message. And we say, we believe, according to the word of God, that there's no sense whatsoever where man has any part in this salvation. We don't believe faith is a contribution that we must make to what he's already done, do we? We don't believe that. If you believe that, then you've got a salvation that is ultimately dependent not upon God, but upon you. So we deny that. That's absolute heresy to us, that salvation is in any way determined by man. What we do or what we think or what we, our faith or our repentance, in no way do we think or believe that salvation is conditioned upon what we do. Our eternal happiness, our everlasting salvation is a matter of absolute grace, with no contribution to the sinner. And when we preach this message to our loved ones, to our family members, to our friends, to people we work with, to our neighbors, when we communicate the truth to them, you find that they're drunk on the wine of false religion. And you can't communicate with them. They just don't see it. They don't get it. They don't believe this gospel. Well, what has happened to them? They have been sipping at the wine glass of false religion all their lives, just like we did. You see, every person is naturally religious. We know that. But every person is naturally a believer and an embracer of false religion. Religion conditioned upon something we must do. Religion conditioned upon our will, our works, or our worth. And that's false religion. And the Lord has a name for false religion: Babylon. Babylon. That's all Antichrist religion. I was reading this week in preparation for this message some of the old writers. I especially love reading John Gill. He talks about, and other writers, Puritan writers and so forth, they believe that Babylon, they believe false religion is that which is indicated here is the Roman Catholic Church. Well, there's no question about the fact that Catholicism is false religion. They also believe that that man who says he's the Pope, that he's the Antichrist. Well, there's no question about the fact that the Pope is Antichrist. I don't think he's the Antichrist, but he is Antichrist. And those of you who have Catholic friends and family members, you know, and I know, if they're a practicing Catholic, you know, you have practicing Catholics and non-practicing Catholics. Well, those folks, we love them, but they're deceived and deluded, because that's a religion that denies the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they are not alone in doing that. And I don't believe that Babylon is only the Roman Catholic Church. It's any religion, any denomination, including Baptists, Methodists, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, you name it, throughout the world. It's any religion that denies the all-sufficiency of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ to save his people from their sins. It's any religion that denies in any way, shape, or form salvation by grace alone, in Christ alone, received by God-given faith alone. It's all Babylon. And in the 17th and the 18th chapters of the book of Revelation, John has seen Babylon brought to final judgment. Look back in chapter 18 and verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets. For God hath avenged you on her, her being Babylon. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, shall be cast into hell, and shall be found no more at all. And then all the happiness and all the joy and all the merriment of Babylon perishes with her. Look at verse 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more. Did you get all those no mores? This is the end of her. This is the end of Babylon. No more at all in thee, for thy merchants were great men of the earth, and by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. There's nowhere in this world, there's no nation on this earth, but what is deceived by false religion. False religion extends from sea to shining sea, all the way around the world, from the North Pole to the South Pole, everywhere. False religion is present and has been present in this world ever since Cain brought unto God an offering, not of blood, but of the best that he could present to God. That was the origin of false religion after Adam and Eve came out of the garden. The origin of false religion before they came out of the garden was when Adam and Eve clothed themselves with fig leaf aprons. And man's trying to do that, been trying to do that ever since. False religion, self-righteousness. And false religion is promoted, it's popular. It's widespread. It's everywhere. And all nations have been deceived. And in false religion, in Babylon, look at verse 24. In Babylon was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The symbolic action of this powerful angel in taking up this millstone and casting it into the sea, that symbolizes the everlasting destruction of Babylon by God Almighty. Now, this is an intensified picture of Old Testament prophecy. We know that in the Old Testament, Babylon rose up in opposition to Judah. They took her captive. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. Babylon was the capital city of the Chaldean Empire. And it was to Babylon that all the Jewish prisoners were taken. But the Lord, he had purposed to save a remnant of Judah and destroy Babylon by a man whose name was Cyrus, who was a picture of Christ. And Cyrus freed the Jews. He sent them to rebuild the walls of the city and rebuild the temple. And in time, Babylon was destroyed. In the Old Testament prophets, several times, frequently you read of Babylon being destroyed by the Lord. Go back, let me just show you one passage. Look in Jeremiah chapter 51. And I've got actually several I could go to, but for sake of our time, I'm just going to send you to this one. Jeremiah chapter 51. Look at verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah 51, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her. The word fanners means strangers. They're going to invade Babylon and scatter her or destroy her, fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. The Lord has prophesied, or his prophets have prophesied, the destruction of the literal city of Babylon. That's what they were doing. And by the way, the literal city of Babylon today doesn't even exist. It's been destroyed according to God's purpose. It is thought to be located on the west bank of the river Euphrates, 50 miles south of Baghdad. But it is no more. Now, what has happened literally to the city of Babylon, John sees back over here in the book of Revelation now, he sees the fulfillment of this in that Babylon is always been a type of the entity or the city or the empire that is against God's people, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and Babylon that has been spewing out her lies and her falsehoods for many, many years. And now John sees her fall, and great is the destruction of Babylon. Now, upon the destruction of Babylon, upon her fall, great rejoicing breaks out among the people of God. Fix your mind's eye on the scene. The people of God are rejoicing because God has destroyed all false religion. The judgment upon Babylon is her just wages. Throughout the history of mankind, she has deceived people and she has corrupted the earth with her error. As I said, ever since Adam and Eve made fig leaf aprons, and ever since Cain sought to draw near to God upon the basis of his own labors, ever since the Tower of Babel, when men were determined to build a monument to themselves and ascend into the heavens by their own efforts, Babylon has always been in opposition to the free grace of God, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the message of substitution and satisfaction. Babylon has battled God's church constantly, often pouring out her enmity against God by shedding the blood of his children. I ask you this, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know that God purposed that death so that God would be a just God and a Savior. We know God brought it all to pass. But remember who it was that insisted that Rome take him and crucify him. False religion. Babylon. And they were so dedicated. Babylon was so dedicated and so religious that after our Lord had been crucified, they said, you got to get him off the cross because tomorrow is the Sabbath. And we've got to go to church tomorrow. False religion killed our Savior. False religion has martyred saints of God throughout the years of time. And they're still martyring God's people in other countries. And were it not for the God-given liberties that we enjoy and that I fear we take for granted, we would have to fear for our lives tonight in meeting. Isn't it wonderful that God has preserved the freedom that we have so that we can meet tonight and worship and sing praises to our God and preach the gospel of God's free grace and exalt Jesus Christ and speak the very word of God without fear of men coming in and shutting us down and throwing us in prison? We take that for granted. And some of us were talking the other day about the fact that I believe some of these liberties that we enjoy are quickly eroding. Let's be appreciative of what God has given us. I'll tell you why I think this country, I tell you why I know this country continues to exist as it does with the liberties that we enjoy. Because still out of the United States of America, we're still the very headquarters of the gospel of God's grace. This is where the truth goes forth from. There are more preachers of the gospel in this nation than there are anywhere else in the world. I know there are not many, but there are several of them, and most of them we don't even know. And let's don't ever get some kind of complex and think, well, we're the only ones preaching the gospel. God has never left himself without a witness, and wherever he has a people to be brought into the fold of salvation, I promise you, he'll have a gospel preacher.
Amen.
He'll have somebody to tell them the truth about God, about themselves, and about Christ Jesus, the only Savior of sinners. So don't worry about the cause of God in truth. Old Brother Gill wrote a book on that, didn't he? The cause of God in truth. It's secure and it's safe. God's doing his work. False religion, though, it won't go quietly. No, it's not going to go quietly. And so when all the elect of God are gathered together in glory, and they see what happens to Babylon, when God destroys Babylon, they just break out into singing. And I say they, it's really us too, because we're going to be there. We'll be among those singing praises to our God. It isn't that we are hard-hearted people. It isn't that we're not prayerful for those who are wrapped up in false religion. Listen, there was a time when I was in false religion, and you were too. You were too. I used to be a free will preacher. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I worked for J.D. Bassett Furniture Company. I grew up in Bassett, Virginia, headquarters of Bassett Furniture Company. Nancy and I was going to get married, and we did get married August the 2nd. I'll get it right, honey. Don't worry. August the 2nd, 1969. And then we was both going to go away to college. And I worked, my uncle was a personnel manager. You don't call them personnel managers anymore. What do you call them now? He got some other kind of name for them. But anyway, he got me a job there, and I worked as many hours as I could work because I was saving to get married and go to Bible college. And every Friday I'd preach. I'd preach in the furniture factory. During lunchtime, I'd gobble down a sandwich and I'd preach. And I was a free will preacher. I didn't know the gospel of God's grace. I was sincere. But sincerity, all that'll do is just get you to hell. That's all. There's got to be truth. Truth. There are people just as sincere meeting tonight in false religion as we are. Do you know that? And maybe sometimes I think they're even more sincere and more dedicated. But sincerity is not enough. Got to have the truth. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, I preached on Fridays at the furniture plant, J.D. Bassett Furniture Company. Say, what did you do there, preacher? I was a tailor of a bandsaw. That's what my job was. I was tailing a bandsaw. They'd cut that wood on a bandsaw, and I was stacking it up. Man, the first day I had blisters on my hands. I had splinters in my hands, and one old fellow said, how come you don't get you a pair of gloves? I said, well, because I'm stupid, that's why. I did the next day, but anyway, that's another story. But I was preaching, and this old black man came up to me after I'd preached. And he said, I want to tell you something. And I thought he was going to say, good preaching for a young man. He said, I want to tell you something. God don't love everybody like you think he does. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm telling you. God loves his people. That's all he loves. And he said, you are wrong when you tell all these workers out here that God loves them. He said, you don't know that. I hope I'll find him in glory. I want to hug his neck. He's telling me the truth. But I was in false religion. Thought I was doing God a favor. Where were you when the Lord found you? And some of you, I bet you were mired up deep in false religion. You were in Babylon, that's where I was, thinking I was doing God a service. Well, now the Lord said to his disciples, they're going to persecute you, they're going to kill you, and they think they're going to do God a service by doing that. By shutting your mouth, they're going to do God a service. False religion. But he wouldn't let us perish with false religion. Look back over at chapter 18. Back in chapter 18, look at verse 4. Chapter 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Oh, blessed day when God makes bare his arm of grace and mercy. And he comes to his elect and says, come out of Babylon. He doesn't say, will you come out? He didn't say, please come out. He says, you're coming out. That's a command. Come out. And when he says, come out, you come out of Babylon. You come out of free will works religion by the power of his free and sovereign grace. And when Babylon is destroyed, all of the saints of God of all of the ages break forth into singing. Chapter 19, verse 1 now. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. A great voice of much people. Notice who it is that sings this song. A great multitude in heaven. Not a small group. Much people. Much people. I know at any given time and at any given location, it's a small group. And our Lord Jesus said, fear not, little flock. But I tell you what, when the Lord gets all his people together, when all of us are rounded up, when we're all taken to glory, and there we stand before him, robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, it's going to be a multitude which no man can number. But God has numbered them, because he's written every name down in the Lamb's book of life from before the foundation of the world. And here's this great multitude, all gathered together, and we all break out in singing unto our God. This is much people. Much people. Go back to chapter 7. They've been described several times throughout the book of the Revelation. Look at chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. In fact, I'll start reading at verse 1. "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. They're holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow." Now, this is the wind of judgment. This is the wind of God's wrath. This is the wind of vengeance. "That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel descend or ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Don't hurt the earth, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed, preserved, saved, until the gospel has been revealed to the servants of our God, and put this in their foreheads," that is, in their minds and in their hearts. In other words, the Lord says, judgment is not going to fall until all of my elect know the gospel.
Amen.
Now, wrath is going to fall on this poor earth sooner or later. Everything is destined to be destroyed in a fiery heat. But it won't be destroyed. The Lord has said, stop, not yet. Says to these four angels, not yet. My elect have got to be sealed with the gospel. They're going to learn who I am. They're going to learn what they are. They're going to learn and rejoice in salvation by my free grace through the blood and the righteousness of my dearly only begotten Son. So don't destroy it. Don't destroy it. Okay, look at verse 4. "And I heard the number of them that were sealed. And there was sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." This is a figurative number, a symbolic number of this multitude which no man can number, which he mentions in verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes." There's the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. "They have palms in their hands, and they're all crying with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb." They're all singing the same song because they all believe the same gospel. From the very first sinner who was saved by grace to the latest sinner who has been brought to a knowledge of the gospel today, all are saved by the same grace, washed in the same blood, robed in the same righteousness, and give praise to the same God for the same salvation. It's a great multitude. And these, go back to chapter 19, these have got something to say. They say, Alleluia. And in verse 1, here's an Alleluia for God's salvation. This word, Alleluia, it's an expression of admiration and wonder. And of course, Alleluia literally means, praise ye the Lord. I remember when I was just a little guy in Sunday school, growing up in church, we used to sing that chorus. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Did y'all ever sing that? You didn't know you was going to get a solo out of me tonight, did you? No charge, no extra fare. We used to sing that. What does hallelujah mean? We say hallelujah, it's alleluia. We typically say hallelujah. What does it mean? Praise ye the Lord. So here's all of the elect of God gathered together. And they see Babylon fall, and this is the song that they sing. Alleluia! Praise the Lord! For what? For God's salvation. for God's salvation. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now this shouting or singing of hallelujah is associated with the fall of Babylon. So when we think of this salvation, this praise to God for saving us, it's for saving us out of Babylon. We've been called to go out of Babylon just like Lot was called to go out of Sodom before its burning. And the only reason why you're not deceived tonight by false religion, and the only reason I'm not deceived by false religion, as millions upon millions of people are, the only reason we're not deceived and deluded by anti-Christ, anti-God, free will works religion is because of God's free and sovereign grace. No wonder Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20 and verse 13, "Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. Praise ye the Lord." God's church traces her mercies to the only source of mercies, the Lord our God. Notice that the redeemed of the Lord do what Babylon wouldn't do. What Babylon refused to do. By the grace of God, we attribute salvation to the Lord. See, that's what Babylon won't do. Babylon, now listen, Babylon builds orphanages. Babylon builds hospitals. Babylon seeks to feed the poor. Babylon does a lot of seeming good in the world. But what Babylon never will do is attribute salvation all to God. Babylon won't do that. But what they refuse to do, by the grace of God, the Lord's elect have been doing ever since God revealed the gospel to us. We say, hallelujah, salvation to our God. That's been our theme, that's been our message. Hallelujah for God's salvation. Watch this. Secondly, the second hallelujah is in verse 3. And this is for God's judgment over the wicked. The first hallelujah is because of salvation out of Babylon. The second hallelujah is for God's judgment over the wicked. In other words, the Lord is to be praised for his judgment over the forces of Satan. I know that immorality, out and out wickedness, is deceiving millions and millions of people and dooming millions of people. But it's like, you remember that the group that was singing all, they lined the streets of Jerusalem and they said of David, they said, King Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. Remember, isn't that what they said? Well, I tell you, immorality and wickedness, they've slain their thousands and still doing it. There's no doubt about that. But false religion, she's slain her ten thousands. She's been busy. Been busy. So when Babylon falls, all of the elect of God break out in a hallelujah, a hallelujah. After all, look in verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up. How long? Forever and ever. She's never going to be heard from again. I'm a pretty patient man in most situations. But I have no patience with false religion. And neither do you if you love the gospel. that we love our family members and our friends who are mired up in it, who are deceived by it, and we try to talk to them. We pray for them. We pray for them because only God can do something for them. But when Babylon finally falls, we'll give thanks to God and we'll praise Him. Because we despise false gospels. I don't want to hear false gospel. I don't want to read a false gospel. I don't want to be anywhere near to a false gospel. Do you? No, you don't. I know you don't. We love this gospel, the true gospel. And anything else is what the Apostle Paul calls another gospel. And he said, if any man, even if an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel than the gospel I preach to you, let him be damned. And when God finally shuts every mouth of every false prophet, all of the church of God will say, hallelujah. They'll never lie on God again. Never again. This is hallelujah for God's judgment over the wicked. Because you see, false religion would steal the glory of God. Like those who believe Catholicism, they believe Mary is the mediator. They present, this is the false gospel that they set forth. And I don't mean to just be picking on Catholics. I pick on Baptists, anybody else. But they picture God the Father as being very stern. And He doesn't really want to show mercy. God the Son, He's a little bit more merciful. But Mary, she's the tender one. So you go to Mary, she's so full of compassion. So full of grace, they say. You pray to Mary, and she goes to her son, and then he goes to the Father. That's the lineup of Catholicism. That's false religion. And listen, if you believe that, it's because I love you that I'm telling you the truth. That's damnable doctrine. If you continue to believe that, you'll perish in your sins. Because there's one God and one mediator, and the mediator's name is not Mary. The mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Mary is not the way, the church is not the way, baptism is not the way, Christ is the way. Christ is the way. And when God shuts the mouths of these false preachers, we'll say, hallelujah. And I don't know whether you think I'm too mean or whatever, but when I read that a false preacher has died, I just say, thank you, Lord. However, I know there's always somebody to take his place. But I rejoice when these men, when their mouths are shut forever. Because they would rob God of the glory that is only due to Him. And if God the Spirit has created life within you and a love for this blessed Redeemer, a love for God alone who can save, you can't stand false religion either. And you just won't stomach it, won't put up with it. This is an hallelujah for God's judgment over the wicked. And then thirdly, look at verse 4. Here's another hallelujah. And the 24 elders, this I believe that's typical of all the people of God. And the four beasts, all the preachers of the gospel, they fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen. We're in perfect agreement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The third hallelujah has to do with worship. The first one is salvation. The second one is because of God's judgment over the wicked. The third one is worship. After all, who else is worthy to be praised and worshiped except the Lord our God? He alone is worthy of all glory, all praise, and all gratitude. To worship God is to render to Him the honor and the recognition He rightfully deserves. Our English word worship is derived from an old English word which means worthiness. God is worthy to be worshiped. He's worthy of recognition. He's worthy of respect. He's worthy of reverence. We don't worship any man. We don't worship any angel. We worship the Lord alone. Look over in look here in chapter 19. Look at verse 10. John said, "I fell at the feet of this angel, this spokesman from heaven, to worship him. And he said, 'See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ.'" Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus, that's the spirit of prophecy. That's the breath of prophecy. That's the life of prophecies, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in chapter 22. Verses 8 and 9. Chapter 22, verse 8. "And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I heard and seen, when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, 'See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book.'" Worship God. Worship God. This third hallelujah has to do with the worship of God, because He alone is worthy to be worshiped. And I'll tell you, we don't show any respect. We don't give any reverence to any dunghill, weak, effeminate God, some little idol that is dependent upon the creature to fulfill His will. We worship the Lord our God, who is set forth in this book in all of His glorious attributes. Praise ye the Lord in worship. He deserves that. And He's going to get that from you. You're going to bend the knee to Him. Sooner or later, you're going to bend the knee. You're going to bow to Him. And you're going to say, "Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Sooner or later, everybody's going to do that. Then fourthly, in verse 6, alleluia. Here's the fourth one. "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia." What's this one for? "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." This is an alleluia for God's sovereign reign. My friend, there is no worship of God if we don't worship Him as the God who reigns. You have not worshiped God if you haven't worshiped Him as the God who's altogether sovereign in creation, in providence, and in salvation. Isaiah 52, verse 7. What's the message of God's servants? Look over there at this, and I'll close with this one. Look at Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52. Look at verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace," peace already established by the blood of Christ Jesus, "that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion." What am I going to say to you tonight? It's what I'm going to tell you. Thy God reigneth. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Thy God reigneth. Well might an alleluia arise from the saints of God to glory. Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Well, let's sing a closing song, brother. 509, "The sands of time are sinking." And they are.